From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. In case anyone missed it, on May 9th, Postmaster General Louis DeJoy notified the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee Chairman Gary Peters that he paused further postal facility consolidations and realignments through January 2025. And after January 2025, he plans to notify Congress before initiating any further consolidations. And further consolidations will be moderately implemented, according to the Postmaster General. In part, this retreat responds to overwhelming, broad, and bipartisan congressional concern over the impact that the Delivering for America plan consolidations have had on postal performance, most notably and measurably regarding on-time delivery of mail. In an easy-to-overlook filing with the Postal Regulatory Commission, the Postal Service sought to deflect blame for the Delivering for America failures onto the Postal Service's frontline supervisors, managers, and postmasters. This unsubstantiated attempt to redirect responsibility was met with a fact-based reply by the National Association of Postal Supervisors, which was filed with the Postal Regulatory Commission as part of the Commission's public inquiry into the Delivering for America plan. With me today, in fact, is the chairman of the Postal Regulatory Commission, Michael Kubianda. Chairman Kubianda last visited with Naps Chat in December 2019. At that time, he was vice chairman of the commission. Mr. Kubianda was designated chairman by President Joseph Biden in January 2021 and has served on the commission for more than 5 years. Prior to the Postal Regulatory Commission, Michael served as a board member and privacy officer for a digital health startup. He also previously worked with the Postal Service Office of Inspector General and as counsel to the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform under then-chairman Adolphus Towns of New York. Welcome back to Naps Chat, Michael.
Thank you, Bob. Great to be back.
I want to go back to your November 2021 confirmation, or should I say reconfirmation, hearing. At that time, you stated that the Postal Regulatory Commission's traditional tools of providing accountability and transparency must be updated with a data-centric, customer-centric, and citizen-centric approach. Michael, has the Commission succeeded in updating its tools, and has that informed PRC deliberations?
That's a great question, Bob. I think the short answer is we're still, that's still in progress, and there's quite a ways to go. We have implemented quite a few changes. You've probably seen more activity from us because, one, just responding to the state of the industry and what's been going on with the industry and with the Postal Service. So we've had to be out there a little bit more active using both our traditional tools and some of the updated tools that you've talked about. But there's a long way to go in that. The commission is a very small entity, as I mentioned in my recent testimony before the Senate. And so for us to make some of those changes takes a lot of focus, a lot of energy, while we're at the same time doing our traditional work. So one thing we're doing right now is upgrading our infrastructure, updating our IT infrastructure significantly. You might have seen that we received an award from the Technology Modernization Fund to do that, and so that's something we're quite proud of. And we're, I think you'll start seeing some additional manifestations of that. Keep an eye on our website. But right now, a lot of that work is going on in the back end. It's stabilizing, upgrading, doing basic cybersecurity measures, and we will steadily, I think, roll out sort of more publicly facing features.
Now, as I referenced in my introduction, on May 9th, the Postmaster General retreated from his full speed ahead mantra relating to the Delivering for America plan associated consolidations and realignments. He apparently is pausing his plans for about 8.5 months. How does this change impact the ongoing public inquiry into the Delivering for America plan? and a potential advisory opinion by the PRC if requested by the Postal Service.
Yep. And so those are that issue is playing out as we speak. Postal Service is due to respond to our show cause order today. We said either file an advisory opinion within 40 days or give us a response in 20 days of what you're planning to do. So we are hoping to see something today from the Postal Service about what their plan is in terms of requesting an advisory opinion. So I don't want to get too far ahead of that. I will say, despite the pause, there's still a lot of concerns in the community, in the stakeholder community on Capitol Hill about DFA. It's obviously a very ambitious plan with a lot of implications. And the key thing that we look at with an advisory opinion and whether an advisory opinion is warranted is whether there will be a nationwide or substantially nationwide impact on service. If so, then advisory opinion makes sense. And the point of the advisory opinion is to get out ahead of those changes, right? And so even if there's a pause, there still could be a case. At some point, you're going to need to get that information out there, get people on the record, have people discussing their concerns, have the Postal Service presenting what they think are the benefits. And so the fact that there's a pause by itself would not negate the importance of that.
Now, the pause is on further consolidations and realignments. It does not necessarily, if I read the letter that he sent to Chairman Peters correctly, that doesn't necessarily stop consolidations and realignments that are in the pipeline right now.
Right.
That's how I read it. So that's something that I think Congress is going to be extremely attentive to, saying, you know, you've recognized that there is an issue. That's the reason you're pausing it. So their question, I know this is not necessarily within the bailiwick of the PRC, maybe after the fact, it could take a look at it, but that's something that in the political sphere, they're going to be very concerned about, I would assume.
Yeah, and that could certainly be one of the issues as, you know, when we're still waiting to see the Postal Service's response and what they have to say about what should be, whether they will file for a request for an advisory opinion and what should be in that request. But that could be one of the issues to discuss is what's the scope of that? What's included? Right. What's already been done? What's pending? What's currently being implemented? So there's a lot of really nuanced potential issues out there for us to discuss.
Right. I should just add that this podcast is being taped on Thursday, May 16th, for the perspective. And I would also mention that last week, the Postal Service Board of Governors met, at which time very little was said about the ongoing public inquiry and potential for an advisory opinion, though in the letter that the Postmaster General sent to Chairman Peters, which was dated on May 9th, he said he had not yet decided whether or not he would seek an advisory opinion, which is interesting, but it goes on. I want to bring you to the hearing that you testified at around a month ago. And besides yourself, there were three other witnesses. There was the Postmaster General. There was the Chairman of the Board of Governors, Ramon Martinez, the fourth, and Inspector General Tammy Hull, Postal Inspector General. You and Chairman Martinez are presidentially nominated and Senate confirmed. And President Biden designated as you chairman, and Ramon Martinez was elected chairman by the board, by his colleagues on the Board of Governors. Yeah. The PMG is an employee of the Board of Governors, as is Tammy Hull, their employees. How the different hiring authorities of all the folks that were testifying before the Senate, how does that impact the view of the Postal Service and what you ought to be doing and what you are doing?
That's a great question that you could probably write a book in response. And I think people have about the, you know, different hiring authorities and, you know, there's constitutional issues there, legal issues, statutory issues involved. But I think you're right. There are two like very distinctive paths to reach those different jobs. I think they do have an impact in a few ways. For one thing, you know, these different entities have different roles. And sometimes we spend a lot of time clarifying, you know, why we're different, we're independent from the Postal Service. And there's there's a reason that we are presidential appointees here running this agency, five of us. And there's a reason you have presidential appointees on the as governors. And it's to, I think, have that one step removed. And one of the things we often clarify is that the Postal Service and the PMG are in the position of the operator, applying their business judgment, and then having the governors oversee that and applying their judgment as well. We're one step removed. We're supposed to be an independent regulator, modeled after, you know, utility style regulation, and answerable to a different set of principles because we're presidential appointees. So I think there's a clear distinction there, and it's important. All those roles are important, and together you have like a postal sort of oversight ecosystem between the Inspector General, which I happen to be an alum of that shop as well, and they have an important role. But, you know, every agency has an Office of Inspector General, including us. We have the same Inspector General as the Postal Service. And but not every agency is in a position where they have an independent regulator as we are. So there's some nuances there because of the unique nature of the Postal Service as a provider of services to the general public.
Because the Postal Service is part of an essential infrastructure system, essential and vital infrastructure system, it's important that there be considerable oversight over its operation, because so many people, I mean, as I've heard, it's said so many times, it touches every person every day of the week. Fortunately, the Postmaster General at times, you know, bristles at such oversight. And there's that tension that exists, understandably.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go to that hearing again. From your perspective as a witness at that Senate hearing, what do you think the senators were trying to accomplish at that hearing? And did they accomplish what they sought to accomplish?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. I think the last part of that would have to be directed to the senators themselves in terms of whether they accomplished what they set out to do. But from my perspective, as someone who took part in that hearing, you had a very fast-moving situation with the Delivering for America plan. And it's been sort of bubbling up. And, you know, certain parts of the plan have received a lot of scrutiny and consideration. But we're still in the early stages. You know, they've rolled out the implementation of this in a few areas, and I think what's going on among the public and on Capitol Hill is people are starting to realize the scope and the ambition of this plan, and the fact that it will eventually impact every American. And so I think what the senators were trying to accomplish, what the committee was trying to accomplish, was to get their arms around, what's the impact of this going to be? What's the how large of an impact, and what's the scale of it? And also, why is the Postal Service doing what it's doing? And so I thought it was a very productive hearing, and at least starting to air out the concerns and kind of getting all of us on the record about, you know, as I said, we all have different roles to play in this and in postal oversight, but at least starting to roll out who does what. You know, the difference in the roles that our respective entities have, and what we're all going to be doing to play our individual parts as this comes together over the coming months.
That part of the congressional responsibility as part of the Delivering for America plan was Medicare integration, and was relieving the Postal Service of its financial obligation vis-a-vis future health retirement benefits. That we take off the table right now. So Congress has done its part. I mean, there are a couple of more things the Postmaster General would like Congress to do now, or the administration to do now that the administration has indicated that this requires legislation, which is primarily recalculating the retirement liability, the pension liability of the Postal Service. That's in the future, but what the PRC focusing on right now is within the DFA, is the operational issues confronting the Postal Service, which brings me to the public inquiry process. What is the purpose of the ongoing public inquiry as being conducted by the Postal Regulatory Commission?
As you alluded to earlier, we as a commission have a variety of regulatory tools which we use to oversee the Postal Service. The public inquiry is one of those tools. It's a little less direct. So, for example, when the Postal Service wants to change its prices, if it wants to raise prices, it comes to the Postal Regulatory Commission, and we can approve or disapprove of their change in prices. We have the advisory opinion process we've talked about. Public inquiry is to help determine which one of those tools are needed, if they are needed. And so what we have here is DFA is, again, a very large-scale plan that is drawing a lot of concern, a lot of interest. And what we're trying to do with the public inquiry is to figure out what regulatory tool we should be using to address a plan. And so the public inquiry is sort of an open-ended, doesn't have like a regulatory end, but it's to find out what's going on, right? And so as a commission, you might recall in the early days of DFA, one of the questions was whether the commission should evaluate the plan itself as a plan. And the conclusion was what we're required to do under Title 39 of the U.S. Code is provide an advisory opinion on any issues that will impact, any changes that will impact service on a nationwide or substantially nationwide basis, not necessarily the plan itself. And so that's why you've seen a bit of, we did issue 4 advisory opinions in 2021, 2022, but not on the entire plan. And yet it's kind of looming there in the background as something to be implemented. So instead of just sitting back and waiting for this to roll out slowly, what we wanted to do is get our arms around, you know, is an advisory opinion for certain portions required? For example, is there something that the Postal Service should be filing? And that's one of the things we determined and that's why you saw the show cause order come out, is as a commission, we decided, yes, an advisory opinion is warranted. And we asked the Postal Service to either file one or tell us, you know, why they believe it's not warranted. So that's one of the outcomes of that public inquiry process. And so you see kind of the different tools coming together there.
What would be the difference in the outcome if the Postal Service seeks an advisory opinion, which it's their prerogative, I guess. I don't know. I mean, is there a tool for the Postal Regulatory Commission to compel the Postal Service to file for an advisory opinion?
That, you know, that could get into some potential legal back and forth, but that's one outcome of the show cause order. Right. It was a tool to compel and say, like, look, put them on the record and say everything, you know, we're seeing and through the public inquiry is all leaning towards the direction of an advisory opinion is warranted. And so the show cause order, it was one step to compel that outcome.
What would be the distinction between you, as part of the public inquiry, there's a record being created. Mm-hmm. I'm one who reads that record almost every day to see what's new.
Yep.
I mean, you're on your docket.
Yep.
And then you're going to have this public, potentially, an advisory opinion, which is a process, which is a formal process where there are questions and answers that the public can ask questions of the Postal Service as part of an advisory opinion process also.
Yep.
As far as outcome goes, what is the difference of an outcome of the public inquiry versus an advisory opinion?
Yeah, the public inquiry does not have a direct kind of regulatory outcome, and that's the main difference. Is an advisory opinion process, once the Postal Service requests that, there are a number of steps that take place, including one of the main issues is a chance to get everyone on the record, starting with the Postal Service, but also stakeholders. We usually hold hearings. That's a really important part of the advisory opinion process to, again, get everyone on the record, air out their concerns are, and then it leads to a specific outcome. You know, whereas the public inquiry, I think it's been extremely helpful. It allowed us to develop a record and understand what are the different elements of DFA, what could have an impact on service, and then we were able to spin out of that into the show cause, which should lead to, we believe, an advisory opinion down the line. And so that's the main difference, is that you have a specific outcome of that is expected out of the advisory opinion.
One of the interesting things about the advisory opinion process, and I participated in a couple of them in a former life, one that notably is the Retail Optimization Initiative, I think back in 2011. But the opportunity is where the Postal Service policy person, the person who's the operational person, sits in a witness, something like a witness stand, and is actually questioned on the record by people, individuals who want to get information from them. And that could be from a private citizen or from a stakeholder. Yep. And I think that's a fascinating dynamic. I don't think we're going to see the Postmaster General on the stand, but his operational people would most likely be on the stand in such a process.
That is one of the great, and I've been through four of these now at the commission, and that is one of the really interesting parts of it. I think there's a lot of value in that. And so I do think there's a lot of value in that. So as the as we roll forward, you know, the Postal Service claims there's a lot of benefits for this, and has kind of downplayed the potential impact on service. The early indicators as they've rolled out DFA are a little bit different. We have seen an impact on service, in some cases a very severe impact on service. So I think they certainly deserve the opportunity to explain what they think the benefits are. But people also need answers to, you know, make sure that these early problems that we're seeing in certain parts of the country don't spread, and that we have some assurance before anything moves forward.
But the Postal Regulatory Commission lacks the legal authority to stop anything. Is that accurate?
We have very limited authority in terms of postal operations. So we do have a lot of authority in terms of accountability and transparency. So I think that's the real benefit when you talk about an advisory opinion process, is people have so many questions about what the impact of this is going to be. We don't think you should roll out changes of these magnitude without having a chance to air out all those questions and get some answers on the record. But yes, the advisory opinion process itself is something that the Postal Service can take into account, and we believe they should, but they don't have to stop because of the concerns that are raised in an advisory opinion.
But the advisory, during the process of an advisory opinion, for the, I think, is a 90-day window from the commencement of
That's the standard. It can be extended.
And yeah, during that duration, you cannot implement the changes until the advisory opinion is rendered.
Yeah, and Congress made it very clear, I think, that that's what they think should happen in this case, is that there should be a pause, and I think that led to the recent announcement.
But let me ask you, decisions that were changes that are in the pipeline right now, what happens with them?
Yeah, that's an issue that could lead to some discussion between lawyers. So I don't want to get out ahead of that issue, but it's something we're aware of.
Okay, and last question, because you've been so generous with your time today and so informative, that we talk about transparency and accountability, and there are those like me who believe that sunlight, shedding sunlight on activities, is the greatest sanitizing agent there is.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, there are many people who would suggest that the request for an advisory opinion is too late, that the changes that the Postal Service has sort of thus far implemented are irreversible. Would that be accurate, or is that an inaccurate statement?
That issue has been discussed. I think it came up a little bit, the Senate hearing. You hear stakeholders discussing that and worrying about that. I think there are many, many actors here involved, and I don't think the advisory opinion process is central, I think, to addressing that issue of finding out what the impact of these changes will be before it's too late. But there are many actors, as you mentioned. The governors are important in this, the Postmaster General, the Inspector General, Congress is weighing in. And so if we all do our part, we hear from stakeholders, I do think there's an opportunity to hopefully address the impact of these changes before it's too late. You know, whether that leads to complete satisfaction on that issue, still to be determined. But I will say, you know, as I said, we've seen spikes in service problems in particular parts of the country. The changes that are helping to cause those spikes have not been fully implemented across the country. So my hope is that there is a time period, there's a window to intervene, to understand exactly what's going on before anything is scaled up across the entire country. And that's the goal, is to make sure we address these issues significantly in advance of, you know, the nationwide rollout.
For those of our listeners who want to keep posted on whether or not there's going to be an advisory opinion, or the Postal Service will seek one, or if we want to keep posted on the ongoing public inquiry, where should they go?
PRC.gov. And we have from PRC.gov, we have a pretty advanced docket system that we're trying to make more and more accessible to members of the public. And so, as I said, the Postal Service is on the spot to file something today, a response to our show cause order. And so that will be posted publicly in our docket system. As this process plays out, a lot of those will be reflected. A lot of those process and a lot of those steps will be played out, and something that you can monitor from our public-facing website.
So at 4 o'clock p.m. today, Eastern Daylight Savings Time, we'll be looking at the PRC website and see what is filed.
Keep hitting refresh.
Keep hitting refresh. This was Postal Regulatory Commission Chairman Mike Kubianda. Mike, thanks for joining us on Naps Chat today.
Thank you, Bob.
And I want to thank Naps Chat listeners for logging on. If you enjoy Naps Chat, please leave us a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store or whatever platform you're using. And more importantly, share Naps Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy.
Right down and write myself a letter.